Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to return back to your house this evening, a chance to grow closer to you through these songs that have been lifted up and through studying your word and growing closer to you through that and knowing the solid foundation that we can stand so firmly upon. Open our hearts and our minds and help us to be able to receive what you have in store for us tonight and encourage us this week to share that with others. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. The signs that we display or that we post in our lives, on ourselves, in our actions, our attitudes, so many ways that you could connect your life, your display, as being a sign to others around you. What are you demonstrating? You can do this through the way you dress, the way you talk, the facial expressions you use, what you display on yourself, your actions, your attitudes, all these can be signs that you've got posted. There's so many different things we see through culture of various signs that people like to post on themselves, such as the way they dress. And you're portraying something in that. You can see extremes in both directions on the way you dress. That when someone sees you, they are receiving that sign and that you have posted there in the way that you're dressing. What are you communicating to them? It might be something bizarre. It might be something simple. It might be something casual. We don't know. But that is like one of our signs. The facial expressions that we use, smiling or frowning or angry or surprised, all those are like signs that we're posting. You know, the ways that we communicate back and forth are these signs. Are your signs genuine or are they phony? People can find out eventually if you're just a big phony with all these false signs that you're popping up, a costume that you're wearing, another type of sign. We see signs in our culture, like I say, they like to display them all around us and in advertising and so forth, but really the signs that we display on ourselves. And now it's gotten to where the art of tattooing is becoming more popular now than it has been in quite some time. Of course, that's nothing new. It's been around for thousands of years. Some of the oldest mummies and things that they've dug up, they've seen signs of tattooing on them. So it's nothing new, but the technology has advanced pretty good where the colors and the brilliance of the tattoo are more vibrant, and they're able to tell a lot more of a story in the sign that they're putting on them on their bodies. I talked to a young lady earlier, and she had a tattoo on her wrist, and I was asking her about the meaning behind that, and she gave me the meaning, and it was something personal to her and to her family and friends. So it was a display showing her love and concern for them. And we can use the opportunity to display Jesus Christ in everything that we do, everything that we say. The sign that we should post all the time is that Jesus Christ is here. That just like a motel, vacant or an occupancy, vacant or no vacancy. It should be no vacancy because Jesus Christ has moved in. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. No room for Satan to come in. No room to rent there. Which is another thing. When Jesus Christ moves in, it's not to rent. He moves in permanently. And we should display His light, His image, in everything that we do every single day, all the time. Not just post it every once in a while and then bring it down. It's not one of the roll-up signs, one of those that you can hang out in the yard on the cables and tie down and just for a certain festivity or an event, and then you roll it up and you put it away until it comes back around again. Is that what you're doing with your salvation? Is it something that you temporarily display, a temporary sign that you use and roll up, put it away? You just display it on Sunday mornings and that's it? Or do you post it on you permanently, like these guys with the tattoos? You know, have you permanently embedded the image of Jesus Christ on you to where everyone knows when they look at you, they see Jesus Christ? They no longer see you, they see Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the sign that we should always be displaying as Christians, is I am a child of the King. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have a home in heaven, and I am happy about it. Another way. So many Christians I've seen, they're walking around in doom and gloom because they're going through one of these valleys. They're going through a hardship. They're going through some kind of a problem. But we should still be smiling and displaying the light of Jesus Christ everywhere all the time. Because that could possibly be the best way that you can display your love, trust, and faith in Jesus Christ is how you handle a tragedy in your life or in someone around you. How are you dealing with that? What are you communicating to those around you? We need to always be conscious of the fact you're always going to have a sign posted. What is that sign going to say? A murmuring, grumbling, and griping, and woe is me. Or I am glad to be born again, a child of the King, looking toward heaven for eternity, and praising the Lord through everything. That's the sign that we should always display. One of the signs, I did a little bit of research on different ones that people use, display on themselves in the form of their jewelry or even tattoos, like I mentioned earlier, or on their clothing. One of them, like the shamrock, you know, we're approaching St. Patrick's Day, the shamrock being used to illustrate the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, used by St. Patrick. That's an awesome sign to display. You got one that is not so awesome, but you see people post on themselves in their clothing and there again, tattoos, is a swastika. What did that originally say? You know, what was the origin of that? If you go back, I love digging into origins. Where did this all come from? How did it get started? The shamrock, the swastika, if you go back to where it once began, as far back in culture as you can find, the use of that image was around 3000 BC. And it was an image that was supposed to communicate well-being and cosmic regeneration and like unification and transformation. That's what it was supposed to represent. But then when the Nazis got a hold of it and they wanted to use it because they felt it was an image that showed a supremeness, a regeneration or restarting, they wanted to put in the New World Order, so they started using that. They tilted it a little bit from the original use. Originally it was more vertical. They twisted it a few degrees there to give it an offset. Which actually, now when you see the swastika sticker, you think of the Nazi use of it and how it represents violence and oppression and that wanting to eliminate an entire group of people, the Jews and world dominance, and I mean, some of the supremacist groups use this as their image that they portray. You know, so things have changed in that. What do they communicate now in using that symbol? Another one you see commonly used is what they call the peace symbol. It's a circle with an upside down Y. It's actually split in two, and then a Y, also known as an upside-down broken cross. Through the ages, it has changed greatly in use. Different groups have gotten a hold of it and used it for different things. You go back as far as you can go, the original meaning of that symbol was death. It was an ancient symbol representing death. And then the 60s and the 70s, when the anti-war movement come about, they got a hold of that image. And if you take a couple ancient letters and put them together and encircle them, the N and the D form that image in there. And they use the N and the D to represent nuclear disarmament. And they use that image and saying this is the peace symbol because nuclear disarmament would result in peace. So that they latched on to it to use it as a mark for peace. So they were taking a negative image and turn it into a more positive image. But when people look at it, what do they see? What do they read when they see that? When I see it, my ideas go right back to the days of the the riots and the protests against the war and chaos in the schools and on the campuses and so forth. When I say it, that's what brings back memories to me on the news of all the violence and stuff going on. There wasn't nothing peaceful about it. But it's used differently in different times. You know, like I say, now it's pretty casual to use it and to represent peace with it. Another time period for a short while, not very emphasized, but it was used as an antichrist symbol. An antichrist symbol because it's an encircled upside down cross, meaning it was broken and encircled and captured. So what do we want to display when we put these images on us? You got to make sure that when you use something like that, that you are emphasizing the meaning that you want behind it. Because some might go back to the original origin, displaying death. Like so many people like to wear these t-shirts and pullovers and stuff that have skulls and all this death on them. For them, that symbol would fit right in. Another one you see on bumper stickers and backs of cars is the image of the fish, which is a Christian symbol used today. It goes all the way back to around the first century or so, where the Romans used the fish. Because if you go back to study the image, the way it, the two curves and the way they're put together, it is Roman. And if the original that has the writing in the middle of it, the writing is I-C-H-T-H-U-S. And it's Greek. It was an anagram that represented your belief and trust in Jesus Christ. The I, which spelled was the first letter of the Greek word I-E-S-O-U-S, which means Jesus. The C-H, first word, the Greek word Christos, which is Christ. The T is Theo, T-H-E-O-U, which means gods, or God. And then the next one, H-U-I-O-S, which means son. And the last one, S, or Soter, S-O-T-E-R, which means Savior. So when you see that word in that fish, it means Jesus Christ, God's Son, and Savior. And that's where the image originated, and that's why it was used. Many of us have used that, put that on our plaque. You've seen one that Satan is trying to kidnap, that one, like we were talking about earlier, kidnapping the rainbow. And he's put that one on people's cars with little feet under the fish and an eyeball. And in the middle of it, it says Darwin, representing their belief in evolution. The fish took feet and started walking about, decided to change itself on its own and become something else. So you see how signs are used. A sign that some of us men use is a beard. You know, where did the origin, or what does that display? If you go back to some history in that, history with the Egyptians and some of the other large civilizations of the past, the beard represented dignity and sovereignty and virility and masculinity and wisdom is what it displayed. So, not that I'm trying to say anything, but that's what it represented back then. Now you see some of it, you know, different things through culture, different times. Like you see somebody with a beard, a lot of times you think, well, they must work outside, they need that. Oh, they must be a deer hunter, must be deer season, or they must be a bum living on the streets, or what. You know, it depends on how you keep it groomed and how you wear it, how you display it, just like any of our other signs. Are you grooming your signs? Are you taking care of them so that they are displaying the right image, giving the right message in everything that we do? The fruits that we bear as a Christian, they are our signs. And are you bearing the right fruits? If you will, turn over to Galatians. Over in Galatians chapter 5, we'll look at verse 19 here. We can see the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, on the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Excellent guidance here. Are we displaying the right things? Are we displaying the signs of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft? Or are we displaying what we should as Christians, which are the love and the joy? The joy, that's probably one of the hardest ones of this. The peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, meekness, temperance. I mean, that's what we need to be displaying all the time, every single day, amongst our family, amongst our friends, when we come to church, when we're not at church, when we're at work, when we're having a hard time, when we're going through one of them valleys, when we're climbing a mountain, whatever it is we're doing, we display the right sign, everyone seeing us. It's an awesome opportunity to testify and to witness to people around you, which is why we're here. This is why we exist, is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. So let's be posting the right signs. Love. Another challenging one. Some folks are really hard to love. But we got to get ourselves out of the way and let the love of Jesus Christ shine through us, which is much more powerful than ours. Cannot compare. Let His love come through us onto those folks that we don't think are worth loving. And that joy, as we mentioned, even through the hard times. And that peace that passeth all understanding. If we display that, because no matter what we're going through, we can have peace in that, knowing that Jesus Christ is right there with us through all of it. And long-suffering, that patience with people, that's a tough one sometimes. When you're trying to get through to someone, a child or a co-worker or something, and you're just over and over like, ain't you getting this? Ain't you listening? Gentleness, goodness, faith. We can be gentle if we so desire. The goodness, of course, is Jesus Christ coming through us. And our faith and trust in Him and yielding to Him. Meekness, temperance, that meekness, that's that power that we have under control. If you're meek, it's not that you're a wimp. It's that you know that you have within you a lot of influence and power and over everyone around you every single day. You can alter someone's attitude, someone's opinion, someone's direction of their day so easily by a single word or a look, just throwing your eyes up, or a little smirk, or so simple to change the attitude of a loved one, spouse. One little motion can set in motion action throughout the entire day that you can do. So easy. But if you keep that under control and know that it's important that you do that. I mean, that's meekness. That's keeping that power that you have over others in control and displaying only those good things, which is gentleness and kindness and love and peace. And that temperance, you know, hold your temper. A lot of times, so quick to just snap back, to bite. You know, we shouldn't be like a bunch of rattlesnakes coiled up, ready to snap at any minute and strike and hurt those around us. So easy to do that. Got to control that. And those are the kind of things that we need to display as Christians. In Matthew chapter 7, if you will turn over there, he tells us clearly that we communicate to others by the fruit that we bear. We can see this when we look at other people's fruit. What are they displaying? What are they showing? In Matthew chapter 7, let's pick it up in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They've put on a costume. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. What fruit are you displaying? What fruit have you got hanging out there that people are seeing, that they are looking at? Those are your signs. That fruit, is it that fruits of the Spirit, that peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so forth that we read about? Or are you displaying, I'm a rattlesnake ready to strike, you know, don't tread on me? A lot of people have gone to these license plates now, they've got the coiled up rattlesnake on there, the symbol that used to be used for West Virginia's state symbol on their big sign. Now Virginia's using it on their license plates. I don't know how they worked that one out, but now it's don't tread on me. Is that what you're displaying? You know, like you're just a rattlesnake ready to strike? You display this on your job when you're walking, when you're dealing with your children, when they walk up to you, do you give them that snarl like, I don't even want to hear you today, just keep on walking? Or you got that welcoming smile, like, how can I benefit you? How can I improve your life today? Which is what we as Christians need to be displaying all the time. It's like when you encounter anyone, if you've got a magnetic personality where they want to come up and find out why you have that smile on your face, drawing them in. That's the Holy Ghost working in you, drawing them in so that you can testify, that you can witness to them, so that you can show them Jesus Christ within you. That's the sign that we need to display all the time. And if we stay out of the evil, if we abstain from all evil, or abstain from all appearance of evil, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, because we can post a sign that is displaying evil. We can put tattoos on ourselves, or piercings, or hair color, or jewelry, or clothing that sends out the wrong sign, that tells people the wrong thing. And be careful with some of that. Some of that stuff you do to yourself can mess you up for life. And then what are you going to do with it? Go get a skin graft or try to sew your ear back on? They put these big loops and stuff in their ears like some of the native tribes way back in the Amazon and stuff, or plates in their lips or bones through their nose and so forth. I mean, people have really mutilated themselves in different ways of posting their signs. But are those godly signs that you're posting, or are they worldly? Are they earthly? Are they lustful? Are they evil? Do they have the appearance of someone who is loving and wanting to draw them in and lead them to the Lord? Or are they warning symbols? Are they the don't tread on me sign? We are responsible as Christians, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be posting the right signs in our lives, on us, and for all of those around us, so that they can see Jesus Christ. Not ourselves, not our own lust, not our own story that we want to tell in our clothing or on our artwork on our bodies or whatever. That's interesting stuff. Sometimes you can get somebody's attention. Maybe you can use that. If you've already distorted your body in some way with that, that's a way that you can use to help someone else maybe. You know, like, hey, look, I messed up and stuck this skull and crossbones on my arm here back when I was a wild and crazy fellow. And now look at it. You know, I wish I hadn't done that, but don't do what I've done. You can use something like that sometimes, or other things that have happened to you or that you display. You know, you can use sometimes a sign that is bad and turn it into something good. Just pray to the Lord. He'll give you a way, a doorway, an opportunity to take something bad and turn it into something good. He's so good at that. He's given so many examples through the Scriptures where He's taken work of Satan and turned it into something good, altered it, converted it. We can do that. We can paint over that sign with something else. If you're full of hatred and strife, let Jesus Christ paint you a new sign of His love, His concern, and let that shine to all those around you. Post the right signs in your life. It's our responsibility as Christians to display the fruit of the Spirit. And be careful with it. It can be such an awesome opportunity every day to have an effect on anyone who is looking at you. The clothing that you choose. You ladies, what you put on. Are you advertising, I am ready and available? Or are you advertising, I'm spoken for and I'm a child of God? What are you saying? Hawaiian have a tradition, the ladies will put a flower behind the right ear when they are looking for a husband. When they are married, they take the flower and they put it behind the left ear, saying, "I am spoken for." Very simple way. It goes back way back in their tradition, their culture, back when they didn't wear much of anything. And the flower was very convenient to be able to post that and say, "Okay, I'm available, I'm spoken for." You know, the way women dress is something that our culture of today would be able to use that. And are you dressed in such a provocative way that you're enticing a man to come and flirt with you and ask you out? Or are you dressed in a way that I'm a Christian, I'm spoken for? The rings that we wear, the wedding band, I'm spoken for, back off ladies, you know, or the ring off of there, and it's like, he might be available. I'm very guilty of not wearing my ring very much, because in mechanics and in construction, you can have your finger ripped clean off if you have a wedding band on, or get electrocuted. So, but I display other things that I'm not available. You have to be able to understand how important it is that we are always displaying the right message to all of those around us. So use the opportunity to display your signs every day, like you're a blank billboard that you see on the streets. Every day when you wake up, what am I going to display today? Am I going to display Jesus Christ or something totally different? So think about that. Everything that you put on, the attitudes, the expressions, the words you use, all communicate something all the time. So all the time, broadcast the love of Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ through you to those around you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. No matter what subject it may be, no matter what issue it is, there's always something in your scriptures that can give us the guidelines, to give us the direction that we need to follow. And we thank you so much for that. Help us to stay hungry, to dig deep into your scriptures, to find the guidance that we need, to find you speaking to us through your word. And help us to be listening to the Holy Ghost that is in each one of us Christians, so that He can guide us as well and display His fruits on us that is so important to those around us, that they see you, not ourselves, but to see you through everything we do. Thank you so much. Lead, guide, and direct us this week, that everything that we do displays you in our lives, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.